Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I realize we've put a little extra time into everything else this evening, and I'm not going to keep you a long time, but we are going to have a sermon. The sermon tonight is called, Are You Numb? Numb. N-U-M-B. Not dumb. Are you numb? Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want you to find verse number 11. And stand with me, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Starting with verse number 11, I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read through verse 14. It says, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let me pray. Father, bless us now. Give me the attention of the people. Help everyone to be quiet, but might their minds be alert and receptive. Help us to be encouraged and challenged. And for some, help them to be stirred in their Christianity so that we're not numb as Christians, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon's called, Are You Numb? The Bible uses a term found in Matthew 13:15 and Acts 28:27 and Hebrews 5:11. It talks about our being dull in our Christianity, or dull in our hearing. That's being sluggish, lazy, slothful. I've been dealing with a little bit of a back issue. And when I went to the chiropractor, he told me that the problem was the sacroiliac. I think that's how you say it. And there's a pinched nerve. And what it caused is I've got numbness in one of my legs. Now, I've got a lot of pain when it comes to the nerve part, but the numbness is present. And he told me, he said, you'll have to be careful that you don't hurt yourself further. When there's numbness, you can hurt yourself and you don't know that you have hurt yourself. So he said, you need to be very, very careful. But you know something? I want you all to know something. I think I see a lot of Christians that they've got a certain spiritual numbness. They're not feeling and sensing what they ought to be feeling and sensing in their Christian life. And could I warn you? Be careful now. If you get too numb in your Christianity, you could hurt yourself and not even realize what you're doing to yourself. Because that's what happens when someone's numb. Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was used by God to write what is written here in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Much of this book is Moses giving counsel to the children of Israel. But it's counsel that had already been given. So it is God repeating himself. God felt that he had to repeat himself, and he repeated himself often. Twice he says, forget not. That's Moses saying, wake up now. You're, if you will. He's saying, you're a bit numb. I'm telling you again the same thing I already told you. He started in what we read there in verse number 11. He uses the word danger, or he actually says beware, which means something is dangerous. And now what's dangerous? If God keeps repeating himself to us and we're numb to what God's saying, that's a dangerous thing. And I learned that from my parents. If my dad said, don't do that, and I didn't listen, then my dad said again, don't do that, and I was numb to what my dad said. It wasn't long, I was in danger. So, you know, this thing of numbness and not responding as we should, I hated it to use these illustrations because it looks like I'm falling apart. I got a problem with my back, and then I had a problem with one of my teeth not long ago, and I went to the dentist, and he said, well, you're going to have to get a filling. And you got a cavity, and I went in, and they said, "Okay, there's going to be a little sting in just a minute." And big fat liars, wasn't a little sting. And then in a few moments, you know, they were shooting that Novocaine in there, and in just a few moments, they're pulling my mouth so wide open, I couldn't believe my mouth could get that wide open. But of course, I didn't feel anything because now I'm numb. And I couldn't feel anything. They were drilling, and I couldn't feel a thing. Now, I could smell, but I could not feel. And then they want to talk to you. How you doing? Oh, you know, I'm slobbering all over the place. And here's the thing, when they're doing that to you and they're talking to you, they understand you. It's a dental language that you develop in dentistry school to understand people, you know, when they got, you know, a bunch of things shoved in their mouth. But there was a numbness that they did on my face, and so they desensitized it or deadened it. They virtually paralyzed it, if you will. Now, here's the danger. When they do that to you, you can bite yourself and you don't even know it. So I wouldn't recommend that you eat caramel. See, I learned, don't eat caramel right after you had you got a shot of Novocaine, because you go to chewing on it, and caramel in your gum feels the same when you're chomping down on it. You can bite your tongue, but you don't feel it. You can bite your cheek, and then you got some little dangly piece of flesh in there that gets in the road, and come on, you all know what I'm talking about. It's dangling around in there, and it just bothers you. And you can taste blood, but you don't feel anything. You can, and then if you do bite into something, you rebite it. It's a bummer. But the thing is, you don't stay numb. So you bite yourself and it doesn't hurt at that time. You bite your cheek and you don't feel anything. It's not so bad at that time. And then later on, you're thinking, good gravy, I bit off a pound of meat inside there. What? And it hurts. Now, folks, I think sometimes Christians get numb in their spiritual life. It's almost as if the devil shoots at you and I with some spiritual Novocaine. Be careful that you don't become desensitized to the things of God. Be careful that the Word of God doesn't bother you anymore. You know, the Word of God's supposed to challenge us and change us. Be careful that the Spirit of God is active in your life and you're not numb to it. That Novocaine dulls the senses, and I think sometimes we have become our spiritual senses become numb. I wonder if the devil doesn't dip his arrows in some Novocaine and shoot them at it every once in a while, and we end up numb in our Christian life. Let me take just a few minutes and apply this in some areas. For instance, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 12 talks to us about becoming numb in our hearing. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Here the Bible says, you and I can become dull of hearing, sluggish in our hearing, lazy in our hearing, slothful in our hearing. And I think the application is here, you hear the Word of God and you become paralyzed a little bit in your thinking or in your spiritual attitude. And he even talks about, I've got to teach you again, I've got to say again some things I've already said. Folks, don't have numb ears. Make sure that your ears are alert to the things of God. I believe this. I believe that there is truth that is preached from this pulpit that will strengthen your spiritual need. Others are hearing it and getting it, and yet you don't. It's not the truth because it's the same truth. It is the hearer. It's the listener. There are two kinds of people that hear preaching. Those that absorb it and live it, and those that are just present. Happens all the time. I beg of you, open your ears. Concentrate. Make yourself listen. I want to work hard at saying things and giving illustrations and telling stories and everything that I need to keep your attention. But folks, we owe the God of the book and the book of the God our attention. Don't become numb in your hearing. Don't let your ears become numb. Why? Just like that Novocaine, when your ears become numb, you start hurting yourself and you don't even know it. Later on, you'll wake up and you'll say, oh my, what did I do to myself when I was not listening to what God had for me? Secondly, don't become numb about what you've been taught. And I'm talking about in the past. Listen, Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart. Here, a warning was given that you don't want to forget what you've already been taught. Actually, it says, take heed to thyself, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Folks, listen, we've been taught a lot of Bible. And I realize there are people that you're here, and this is your first time to ever hear a Bible truth such as this. But there are a lot of people, you've heard lots of preaching. You've heard a lot of it. And there are some people, you've been in church all your life. Could I tell you something? Have you become numb to the things that God taught you in the past? Do you know God's truth of the past is good for the present? Many Christians I meet, they are spiritually educated beyond their character to perform. They've been taught all sorts of things. They just don't do anything about it. You've become numb. Oh, don't let that happen. Hey, you'll hurt yourself while you're numb and then regret it later. Have you become numb about the things that you've been taught? Some of you have been reared in excellent Christian homes, but you're numb to it. So you're not doing what you were taught to do. You've become numb toward that teaching from your past. There are people here that have graduated from fine Christian schools. You went to Christian school, maybe first grade through 12th grade, and you've got some excellent training, but you've become numb toward it. There are people here that have graduated from Bible colleges, but you're numb to what you were taught to do. Matter of fact, you can probably even set through this tonight, and it won't even faze you because you're just present. Your ears are numb. You're numb to what you've been trained to do in the past. And so there's a Novocaine that's been pumped into you spiritually by the devil, and you could hurt yourself. It's a dangerous thing to hurt yourself and not know you're doing it. Some of you that are second-generation Christians, you've seen it all. You've been around it all your life. And you are virtually dead weight. You never do anything for God. You never do anything about what you've seen. You never do anything about what you've heard. You know it all, but you don't do anything about it. What's happened? Have you become numb in your Christianity? I don't want my ears to be numb. I don't want what I have been taught to be numb. I am often reaching into my past and all the training that God has given me, and I'm pulling it into the present. And that's one of the ways I keep myself from changing for the worst. I don't want to go the way of the modern Christianity. I'm reaching back and pulling from back there what I need today so I can have revival in my church. I don't want to be numb to that. I feel sorry and a little irritated with a bunch of my peers that have virtually become numb in regard to the training that they received in years gone by. They know what's right. They know how to take a stand. They know how their church ought to function and the proper doctrines and the separation, but they've become numb to it. And one day they're going to wake up in heaven and they're going to say, "Oh my, I bit my cheek. I was less than what I should have been because I'd become numb to the things that I've been taught in the past." Thirdly, let's never become numb about the name of God, the name of Jesus. In Deuteronomy 6:12, back there where Moses was repeating himself because they had become numb or dull in their hearing, he said, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." Have you become numb about the name of Jesus? Does the word God mean nothing to you? Do you use His name in vain and it not bother you? Does it bother you when someone cusses and uses the Lord's name in vain? It ought to. Now, we live in a society where people do it all the time. And because it is so frequent, if you're not careful, you get used to it. And it'll be okay. Oh, don't be desensitized. Don't be numb about the name of Jesus. You used to thrill when you would sing about His name. Now it's just like any other name. I like that song. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Boy, it ought to be when you hear the name Jesus, when you hear the name God, when you hear about the Holy Spirit, when you hear about Jehovah, that ought to soften your heart. Don't become numb about it. The teenagers sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, I've got Him on my mind. Now I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. Hey, when people call you a Christian, are you honored and humbled at the opportunity to live up to that name? It ought to be that way. Someday, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That name, when you get to heaven, we're all going to figure out how big that name is. We're all going to see how powerful and how holy and how righteous that name is. Folks, let's not become numb about Jesus, about God. We become numb in our hearing. We can become numb about what we've been taught in the past. We can become numb about the name of God or the name of Jesus. Hey, don't become numb about your serving God and this thing of winning others to Jesus Christ. Don't become numb. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." God is writing in the book of Revelation to a church that used to care about the souls of men, and now they're no longer interested. And God put it this way, "You have left your first love." You used to love the souls of men, and getting people born again was your primary goal, but you have become numb to it. Oh my, churches everywhere, they don't get people saved anymore. They don't witness anymore. They cancel their soul winning program, turned it into visitation, then cancel their visitation program and are hoping that some lost person will stumble in off the street and maybe they'll get a shot at telling them about Jesus. Folks, never become numb about the importance of winning people to Jesus Christ. They had become numb and they used to be passionate about it. They had lost their feeling about the importance of the souls of men and people being born again. Do you know that happens sometimes when the soul winning and the emphasis of people being born again and witnessing is phased out? But let me give you another warning. Sometimes people become numb to it because they see it happen so much. I mean, folks, if you watch around here, there are people every week of our life walking the aisle, getting born again. Now, there are some churches, if that happened, they would be throwing... I mean, if two people walked the aisle in their church, they would be throwing a party. There'd be folks saying, "What in the world? Those people got saved today. Isn't that exciting? That's the only two that they had saved all year long." But because you see it week after week after week after week, if you're not careful, you'll say, "It's invitation time. Hurry up. I got a roast in the crock pot at home. Hurry up. We're going to the restaurant. Now, I wish the invitation wasn't so long." Be careful, folks. You can become numb to the importance of people being saved. You could become numb because it's being phased out of your life, or you could become numb because it's happening so much that you've forgotten. Did you know that every one of those 300 and some people that were saved at this church this week, every one of them was an individual that would have died and gone to hell had they not been born again? You say, "What's the big deal?" It's a big deal to them. It was a big deal to you the day that you got saved. It was a big deal to you the day that your son got saved or your daughter got saved. It's a big deal. And Jesus would have died for every one of those had they been the only one. Because he died for the individual. Is your tongue numbed up from the devil's Novocaine, and you don't witness, and you don't tell others about Christ? Are you desensitized about people needing the gospel? Has your service to God become numb? You're just going through the motions and not really doing it for Jesus anymore. You usher, but you're just a zombie while you do it. You're Sunday school teacher, but you're a zombie while you do it. You're just kind of paralyzed. I'll tell you this, nobody wants to hear a preacher preach who's numb and he's just doing it out of routine. How terrible. How boring. Well, can I tell you something? Every Sunday school teacher, nobody wants a Sunday school teacher that's numb. Nobody wants a nursery worker that's numb. We don't need musicians that are numb. We don't need choir members that are numb. We need to be alive and well, and strong, and excited, and exuberant for the cause of Jesus Christ. But it's happening everywhere. Churches, they're numbed up. They're numbed up. We get numb about the need of Christ as Savior. We get numb about His name and numb about the things we've been taught in the past and numb in our hearing. And don't worry, I'm getting close to being done. Listen to this. Hey, could I warn you? Don't become numb about your sin. Who is that dangerous? Wow. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." That word hardened there, it means non-responsive, obstinate, or numb. Does your sin no longer bother you? You know, when you heard me get up in the past and throw a fit about pornography and this use of the internet, and boy, when I did, it convicted you. You were squirming. You said, "Oh boy, God's got my number. Whew. Oh God." And you felt conviction and you felt guilty and you felt bad about your sin. But you know what? You went back to it. And now I can mention it. It doesn't even bother you anymore. Are you numb about your sin? Used to scare you to death the thought of not tithing. Doesn't bother you anymore. Preacher, get up and talk about adultery. It used to bother you. Doesn't bother you anymore. You read in the Bible that stealing was wrong. And you were convicted. Oh, but you know what? You didn't do anything about it. Now you've become calloused and numb. And it no longer bothers you to be immodest or to miss church or to gossip or to run with the wrong friends or get yourself drunk. You're just not bothered by it anymore. You have become desensitized, numb, novocained up by the devil. Oh, be careful. Be careful, because when your sin stops bothering you, you're heading for big danger. Big danger. You see, we can become numb. Numb in our hearing. Numb about what we've been taught. Numb about His name. And numb about the souls of men. And numb about our soul winning. And I'm finished, but let me say this in conclusion. Somebody here, you need to get your feeling back. You need to get that passion and that sincerity and that spiritual feeling back into your life. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7 says this, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Look up this way, stop laughing, and listen. You're interrupting me, and that's not right. That's rude. So you look this way and you be quiet. You need to get your feeling back. You need to return to God. You need to come to your senses. I forget what the commercial was. Was it Old Spice? Where they'd slap themselves? Hey, listen, some of you need to spiritually slap yourself in the face and get the feeling back. You need to shake off that novocaine, that apathy, that numbness, that paralyzation in your spirit and in your attitude. You need to revive yourself. You need to face the real you. Let me recommend something. Spiritually, don't bite your tongue. Don't bite the inside of your cheek. It's going to hurt real bad later. You bite the same place over and over again. You all know what I mean. You bite that same place over and over again. It gets worse and worse. And if you repeat the same misbehaviors and you're numb to those misbehaviors in the Christian life, you're digging in deeper and deeper and deeper, and the pain will come. You'll be sorry. If you're not careful, you could bleed, get infected. Don't allow yourself to self-destruct. Hey, are you so far gone that you're numb to this sermon about being numb? Are you just all spaced out? Let's get this over with. In a few minutes, are you going to wake up and we're going to say the final amen and you're going to walk out and you're going to wonder what I said? Or was this whole sermon for somebody else? Part of numbness is not facing oneself. It's always about other people. It's always about your child. It's always about your husband. It's always about your wife. It's always about somebody else. That's part of numbness. You're numb to your spiritual condition. Are you so spiritually desensitized that a sermon like this will do nothing for you? You feel nothing? Not going to change you? Just going to get this over with and go home. Because I just walked in here numb. I stepped through the entire service numb. And I'll leave numb. The only problem is the numbness will wear off. And one day you'll look back and say, I hurt myself while I was numb. My doctor said, you be careful. You may not have all the feeling in that leg you want, but you could hurt yourself real bad and not even know what you're doing. You be careful, because the pain will come if you're not careful. Let's all not be dull in our spiritual lives. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, we want to welcome you to the Savior. If you don't know, if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You could be saved this very night. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. Pray for me. I do not know if I died tonight, I would go to heaven. Pray for me. If you'll raise your hand, I will. I'll pray for you. Anybody here? God bless you. I see those hands. You may put them down. If you're not saved, when we give the invitation, you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, Christian, think about this. Have you become numb? Are you desensitized in your Christianity? I don't go around letting feelings control me, but I will tell you this. There is a spiritualness to your heart being in what you do. Are you numb? Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've let some numbness creep in. God helping me, I want to take care of it. Would you raise your hand, let God see your hand? Yeah, lots of hands. You may put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. Hey, don't be so numb you're afraid to use the altar. I'm going to ask Rachel to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you needed a moment at the altar, you come. Are you numb? Are you injuring yourself over and over in the same area? It used to be when the preacher would preach about going soul winning, that convicted you, but it doesn't anymore. And when the preacher would preach to you about listening to the wrong music, that would convict you, but it doesn't anymore. When the preacher would preach to you about the way you talk, it used to bother you, but it doesn't anymore. The preacher used to preach to you and tell you about the importance of church attendance, but you know, it doesn't bother you to miss church anymore. You're numb in your hearing, and you're numb about what you learned in the past. And matter of fact, you'll even use his name in vain because you're numb. You're numb about serving God and numb about your sin. Hey, it's time to get your feeling back. It's time for you to remove that that numbness, that Novocaine that's come into your life. You say, well, what do I do? Get to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm a little numb about some things. I need to get that zeal, that excitement, that exuberance back in what I do. Don't be numb about the things of God. Don't be desensitized. Hey, folks, we live in a wicked world. May I say to you, you ought to still be appalled at some of the behavior in our world. I mean, some of the junk and the trash that's going on out there, it still ought to bother us. We ought to be bothered by it. We're Christians. Don't be numb. This is the last time through the song. In a moment, we'll move on. And folks, folks, if you'll all look up this way. In a second, we'll pray. I think there are some people that are receiving the gospel right now. So if somebody's witnessing around you, be real careful. Just step around them and let the soul winners go ahead and talk to them without interruption. I think the most dangerous times in my life were not the times of great, what we would call mega temptation. I think the most dangerous times in my life is when I had become numb. Numb. It just kind of didn't matter. I could exist. Very dangerous. Very dangerous for a Christian. So let's be careful. You know what? I don't want a numb church. You know, you can walk into churches and almost sense the numbness. I walk into churches, I think I'm going to a funeral home. There's no life. There's no zeal. There's no excitement. There's virtually the absence of sincerity and exuberance. I don't want that for our church. I don't want a numb church. Hey, and we won't have a numb church as long as we don't have numb people. And I don't want you to have a numb pastor. I want to be what I'm supposed to be, and I want you to be what you're supposed to be. That numbness is very dangerous. Well, thank you so much for coming to church tonight. I'm glad that you came.